This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to worship this morning on this Christ the King Sunday, which means the sermon and most of the worship service are going to be focused on that liturgical day of Christ the King rather than Thanksgiving. If you want to participate in a worship service around Thanksgiving, you can come back at 2 o'clock and join your neighbors from the community. The Laramie Ministerial Association has put together a worship service, an interfaith service. We will have friends from the Jewish community and from the Islamic community here in Laramie, as well as clergy and hopefully members of the congregations of other Protestant and Catholic congregations here in town, gathering together to give thanks for simple gifts. So I hope that you're able to join us this afternoon. And then later is, of course, at 5:30, the Thanksgiving dinner. And if you are still upright, there is Christmas decorating after that to get ready for next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of Advent. We have several things happening for Advent. There is a Advent study beginning on December 2nd, so a week from tomorrow. It is a no-prep study. You can just come and join us. The details are there in the bulletin. It's in the morning and in the evening. There are Advent devotional booklets available at the door as you leave the gathering or overflow room. And then there are several tables in the overflow room, as you probably noticed as you came in. One is a gift from Family Promise. They have given us free tickets for the Santa's Bag of Cash drawings as a thank you to us. So if you pick those up, the explanation is there about how all of that works. And then we are doing a fundraiser for Family Promise with the soup and the nuts. I'm not sure if there is actually any soup left. It's rapidly disappearing. And then the Heifer International table as well. I think that is enough announcements for this morning. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introit.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Worship Christ, eternal Son of God. Honor Christ, incarnate Son of Mary. Serve Christ, glorious ruler of creation. For to Christ belong the power and the glory of the Almighty. Praise be to God.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join me in the call to confession. We do not confess our sins in the hope of forgiveness. We confess our sins with the certainty of forgiveness. For the Apostle Paul assures us that we have been rescued from the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so, with that promise, that assurance, that redemption, we confess our sins before God and one another. Holy God, we confess that we have neglected to declare Jesus the King and model for our lives. We have been quick to call on others to follow the ways of Christ, yet slow to do the same. We've been bold in demanding generosity, mercy, and forgiveness, yet quiet when it comes to offering inclusion, love, and compassion. Forgive us, O God. Restore in us, yet again, the commitment to be more Christ-like in word, in deed, and in spirit. Amen.
Amen. All things in heaven and on earth are reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is ours through faith in the Lord, in whom God was pleased to dwell. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, let us forgive one another. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share signs of peace with one another.
We don't see any little children out there this morning, so we'll go on to the prayer for illumination. Holy God, through the generations you have spoken to us, you have sent voices crying out in the wilderness. You have sent the assurance of a condemned man on a cross. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that by the power of your Spirit we might hear the words you speak to us today. Amen. The first reading today comes from Jeremiah 23:1-6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up David, a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
Thank you, choir, and Ruth, it is good to have you all back, and glad to know that Ruth is doing much better. This is the last Sunday of the church year, the liturgical year, and as such, it represents a transition point in the calendar, much like New Year's Eve in our regular calendar. 1 year ends, and we look forward to the new beginning of a new year. Let us listen for God's word to us this day from Luke 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." and they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Not what you were expecting, I would guess. Perhaps you were anticipating more pomp and glory on this Christ the King Sunday, the way we started the service. A golden crown and a throne, rather than a crown of thorns and a cross. The religious leaders who were scoffing at Jesus were also anticipating more pomp and glory of God's Messiah, God's anointed, the King that we heard about coming in Jeremiah. The one who was to come and overpower and overturn their Roman oppressors. As they mock and ridicule him, you can hear the disappointment and anger. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. They were expecting a mighty and powerful political figure, the knight on the white horse, riding in to save them. This humiliated one on the cross could not possibly be their king. This is not the king they were hoping for. And yet, this is the very king they needed. I wonder if we are more like them than different. I wonder if we, too, are ashamed of this king that does not fight back, but instead offers forgiveness and love. I wonder if we are doubtful of the power of a kingdom that is built on love and forgiveness. When we pray with the words Jesus taught us, "Thy kingdom come on earth, forgive us as we forgive," are we prepared to live by them? We may not mock and ridicule Jesus out loud, but what do our actions actually say? Forgiveness creates a different kind of kingdom. This king does not help himself, but helps others who need help. He does not meet evil with evil, but repays evil with good. He forgives the people who do not know the evil things that they arrange by asking his Father in heaven to forgive them. Jesus is not coming to be just one more king, but rather, he is ushering in an entirely new order, a world and order and reign and kingdom characterized by new life, hope, grace, and love. The kind of love that never wearies in extending and receiving forgiveness. This one that you see strung up by the Roman Empire for treason and insurrection is, as it turns out, not merely challenging the orders of the world, but overturning them altogether and establishing a new reign governed by not by might or power or judgment, but rather by love, mercy, and grace. He is the King, reigning from his unlikely throne, granting forgiveness to us all. And we shouldn't be surprised. Luke's gospel is a gospel of reversal. In Luke, Jesus' stories of forgiveness are legendary. Jesus spends much of his ministry describing the kingdom of God as having different rules and different expectations from the rules and laws and penalties of humanity. In Luke, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like the love freely given when a son foolishly asks his father for his inheritance, takes it, goes to a foreign land, and squanders all he has. Then when the son comes to his senses and returns home, hoping his father will forgive him, he's met with celebrations, rejoicing, and jubilation because of the father's great love and ability to forgive him. In Luke, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a shepherd who cares so deeply for all his sheep that when one is lost, the shepherd goes in search of the lost and does not give up until the sheep is found. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a rich man who gives a party, and when the other rich people are too busy to attend, the rich man throws open his doors and invites the poor, the blind, and the lame to be part of the feast. Jesus spent more time talking about the kingdom of God than any other topic or issue. And Jesus' act of forgiveness while dying on the cross resounds with his teachings that forgiveness is given to all who turn and believe, even condemned thieves during their execution. This kind of forgiveness stands in stark contrast to the show no mercy, take no prisoners expression of power that is admired and celebrated in our world. This kind of forgiveness, this kind of love, is a power of a different kind. Forgiveness feels as if a weight has been lifted off of you, and you are free to let go of the past and move forward in your life. It may not be found in a single act of grace or a simple string of words, but rather in a process of truth and reconciliation. Forgiveness begins with a personal choice to heal and be free, a choice to seek peace and create a new story. When we're hurt, we face the choice of which path to take: retribution or reconciliation, retaliation or reconnection. We can choose to harm or we can choose to heal. It does not matter how long we've carried our suffering or how briefly. It doesn't matter if the one who harmed us does not acknowledge or admit the harm. It doesn't matter if we believe that person has not paid for his or her crimes against us, because forgiveness is not a choice you make for someone else. It is a choice you make for yourself. Forgiveness is really easy, but it is always possible. It will ask much of you, sometimes more than you think you can give. However, the gifts and the freedom that will be returned to you are beyond measure. But Michelle, that just sounds hard. It is hard. But it is what we see Jesus doing even as he is dying. It is what Jesus tells us to do if we want to claim that we are his disciples, if we want to live in God's way, if we want to experience the true power of love and forgiveness, if we want to bring healing to a world that is bent on dehumanization and revenge. I remember once speaking with a Christian person, not a member of this congregation, who was telling me with great pride about how loyal he was to those he loved, and how if you crossed him, watch out. I was stunned that someone who identified themselves as a Christian could be so proud of pursuing revenge rather than forgiveness. There's nothing Christ-like about holding a grudge or exacting revenge. What kind of a world, what kind of a kingdom do you want to inhabit? A world filled with getting back and bitterness, or a kingdom of freedom, led by a king whose outstretched arms are ready to embrace the whole world? Jesus never said it would be easy. Following Jesus is not easy. Healing and reconciliation are not magic spells. They don't erase the reality of an injury. Jesus had scars on his hands, his feet, his side. And for us who follow Jesus, who proclaim him king, he sets the pattern for forgiveness and reconciliation. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ will challenge you to your very core. And there are times it will be painful. But painful in the same way that an athlete in training experiences pain and challenge as they train to grow stronger. Jesus never said it would be easy, but he did promise his grace, his strength, his courage, his forgiveness. We have a choice. In fact, we have multiple choices and the multiple opportunities we have each day to practice small acts of forgiveness. To say with our actions that Christ is indeed our King. When we cultivate forgiveness in our small, everyday encounters, we are preparing for the time when a much larger act of forgiveness will be asked of us. Now, perhaps you believe there's no way you could ever forgive. Or you believe that you could never be forgiven. You doubt that your particular situation could possibly be transformed. Perhaps you feel paralyzed by guilt or grief or anger. Jesus invites you to take the path of forgiving. Not because it is easy, but because it is the path that offers healing and transformation. It is the path toward a different kingdom. I was chatting with a church member this week and asked what they are thankful for here at UPC. And they said something that was both surprising and beautiful. They told me that another church member that they did not name had recently approached them to say, "I think we got off on the wrong foot. Can we start again?" I could see the joy and the hope on this person's face as they saw the possibility of a new beginning. The world changes for us and for those around us when we choose to create a world of forgiveness in our own hearts and minds. Archbishop Desmond Tutu and his daughter Mufo Tutu, know a little bit about forgiveness in the context of apartheid in South Africa. And they've written a book called The Book of Forgiving, The Fourfold Path for Healing Ourselves and Our World. In the introduction, he offers a prayer before the prayer. He says, "I want to be willing to forgive, but I dare not ask for the will to forgive in case you give it to me. And I am not yet ready. I am not yet ready for my heart to soften. I'm not yet ready to be vulnerable again. Not yet ready to see that there is humanity in my tormentor's eyes, or that the one who hurt me may also have cried. I'm not yet ready for the journey. I'm not yet interested in the path. I am at the prayer before the prayer of forgiveness. Grant me the will to want to forgive. Grant it to me, not yet, but soon. Can I even form the words, forgive me? Dare I even look? Do I dare to see the hurt I have caused? I can glimpse all the shattered pieces of that fragile thing, that soul trying to rise on the broken wings of hope, but only out of the corner of my eye. I'm afraid of it. And if I am afraid to see, how can I not be afraid to say, forgive me? Is there a place where we can meet? You and me, the place in the middle, the no man's land, where we straddle the lines where you are right and I am right too, and both of us are wrong and wronged. Can we meet there and look for the place where the path begins, the path that ends when we forgive? As we stand at the edge of a new liturgical year, I wonder, can we begin on a path following the King of Forgiveness? To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please join me in the affirmation of faith taken from Colossians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the body of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. You may be seated. From the cross, Jesus prayed to God, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Let us pray for our world that does not know the forgiveness of God and does not consider the lordship of Christ, saying, "Let your kingdom come." For the rulers, dominions, and powers of the world, who exercise authority over human communities, that they may repent of war, renounce oppression, and serve the common good. Let us pray to the Lord. Let your kingdom come. For the planet Earth that God has given to humankind as our home, that we may be good and wise stewards of its resources, and that those with the power to exploit its gifts may restrain the desire for selfish gain. Let us pray to the Lord. Let your kingdom come. For the church universal, that all who are baptized in Christ may bear witness to his glorious reign of forgiveness and serve him in the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Let your kingdom come. For our enemies, that we may love them in the way of Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord. Let your kingdom come. For our friends and neighbors, that we may dwell with them in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Let your kingdom come. Almighty God, almighty in love, hear the prayers of your people for the sake of our world. Let our prayers be confirmed in our lives, that we may bear witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In gratitude to God, let us give of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray together. Almighty God, receive our offering for the sake of Christ our Lord. Make us worthy stewards of your gifts and generous citizens of the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. As God's beloved children, following Christ the King on the path of forgiveness. As you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.